All right, it is night number two at the Democrat National Convention. We're not excited to be here, truthfully, but nevertheless, we are here. Welcome to the show, our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD 855. Well, I'm not going to give out the phone number because we sat down with Congressman Byron Donalds earlier today. So the Trump campaign is having daily press conferences at Trump Tower, Chicago, and I went there today. I got an opportunity to do a one-on-one with the congressman and ask him a bunch of questions. So we're going to begin this hour with that interview, and then I'll give you some thoughts on the opening last night in the convention, and then our buddy Daniel Turner is going to stop by. So big fourth and final hour, but here we go, Congressman Byron Donalds from the great state of Florida. All right, I'm here with my man, Congressman Byron Donalds, live in Chicago at Trump Tower. Great job today with the press conference. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. It was fun.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why Kamala's afraid of doing those things. That's not too bad at all. You actually get to cover a lot of ground pretty quickly.
Yeah. Let's talk about Philadelphia, because obviously Pennsylvania's must-win state. We talked about food deserts earlier. Crime, right? And these woke prosecutors, people like Larry Krasner in my town. You mentioned how the morale of the police is down. I can tell you the Philly cops have said a lot of that, too. And they've also said people are reluctant to call them, because they know that if somebody gets picked up, the person will be back on the street tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right. So then the neighbors, there's no cooperation.
You got to deal with retribution at that point, because if you call the cops on somebody who's a bad actor, bad dude, and the police just recycle them, what's that perpetrator going to do? First thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you called the police on me. OK, let me come see you. I mean, look, if you are like I grew up in the inner city of New York. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. So these are what I'm talking about is not some political statement. These are the realities on the ground, you know, in tough neighborhoods. And so that's why you got to have a functioning police department that's supported, and you got to have DAs actually do their job and not be political with their job. And I think that's one of the reasons why, if you look at a lot of these states that embrace these policies, people are leaving.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I wish I said in there, and I forgot, but I just didn't. I didn't go down that line. But you know, Kamala Harris comes from the number one state in the country where citizens are leaving. Tim Walz is the governor for the number seven state in the country where people are leaving. So why would we put two people whose states master in American citizens leaving their states to run the country? Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
That is not that's not a value add for me. You know, I'm a finance guy, and so, you know, you don't hire a CEO when their last job, they lost customers.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of not the thing. You want CEOs who know what they're doing, that add customers. And so we need leadership that's going to make sure that the American people are thriving no matter what state they're in. And that's Donald Trump.
When we talk about the issue of voters in places like Pennsylvania, right? And you've got a Democrat party that's crazy, where you've got AOC on the stage last night saying Donald Trump would sell the country for a dollar. Talk about her knowing finance, right? A dollar. And then you got John Fetterman, the U.S. Senator, who's not even here because he supports Israel and he supports a secure border. So what does it say? And the crazy people then knocking down the fencing. You know, what does it say about the state of this Democrat party that AOC is on the stage last night?
I mean, they say they're a party of joy, but that's a lie. They're really a party of fear. They're a party of sowing fear. That's why they, you know, try to bring up all this gaslighting, like Donald Trump would sell the country for a dollar.
A dollar.
That's just crazy. And it's also terrible business. I mean, Joe Biden sold out the country for $27 million. We know that. That actually came out in the Oversight Committee report, of which, you know, I was a part of that. We can document that. But that's just what they do. They lie, they dissemble, they gaslight, they stoke fears, they use emotion. But they don't talk about the actual things that matter. What is the policy? How is it going to impact middle-income families, poor families, senior citizens, small business owners, large business owners, entrepreneurs? Like, how does it affect people? They will never have that conversation with you. Because if they have that conversation with you, you'll quickly realize they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Talk to me about fracking. Last time you were on my radio show, we talked about how Kamala Harris is flip-flopping on this. You know what's amazing about this is that she's offered no explanation for why she suddenly now does not want to ban fracking.
Well, real quick, and I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go for it.
I've not heard her walk away from her position of wanting to ban fracking.
This is why he's the man right here. That's
she's not point. Said that. And the reason I know she hasn't said that is because she doesn't answer questions. They sent some low-level staffer who could be fired in a heartbeat to put out some memo saying that, oh, no, that's not her position anymore. Well, how the hell are we supposed to know that? How are the people of Western Pennsylvania supposed to know this? They don't. Mm-hmm. What, you're just going to take the word of NBC News because NBC News regurgitated what some low-level staffer said that the sitting vice president has said when she ran for president in 2020, she wanted to ban fracking. Her words, not mine. She's not said anything. So as far as I'm concerned, she still wants to ban fracking. Say something different, Kamala. Talk to the press.
There you go. You see, boom, right there. That's a great point. She has not actually said it. She hasn't said a lot of things. So, but we know their record, right? So the old saying that I know you love your mom. I love my mom, right? The two women from New York City, your mom, my mom. When somebody shows you who they are, pay attention, right? So their actions and Tim Walz's actions too, going after energy. I mean, the guy's been a green nut, you know, with his policies too. To think that they would suddenly now support energy workers in Pennsylvania, it's ludicrous.
No, it's very stupid way to look at things. They're not going to do it. They're going to go back to the Green New Deal foolishness. That's what their plan is. They just have to get through the election. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important for people in Pennsylvania to look at that for what it is. They're just saying whatever they got to say to get you to agree to the date. And once you agree to the date, then it's all bets are off at that point. We know what they're going to do. I say take them at their word, not the word of a low-level staffer, not the word of some glitzy campaign ad. Just go to YouTube and look at Kamala Harris describe her own positions over the years. That's all the research you need. Like, I think the best campaign ads we could run are just her own words. Mm-hmm. You know, like Donald Trump's already did it. She said, at the thing where she said she was going to control prices for everything, for food, she said, the price of beef is up 50%. Price of bread is up 50%. And it just cuts. I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message. You're right. Those are your own words. It's your record, and you're horrible. And so I think that's what we got to do. They have not said anything or done anything or demonstrated that they are going to reverse course on their policy. And do you know how I know this? Because AOC looked real happy on that stage last night. Nobody's heard a peep out of Bernie Sanders, have they? Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren isn't saying a word. Let them try to reverse course on those policies. And those three individuals and many more will start coming out of the woodwork and they'll start raising hell. That's how you know Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are not going to do anything about supporting energy in Pennsylvania.
Last question for you, Congressman Byron Donalds. It's always a pleasure to get together. Next time you're in town, we grab a cheesesteak together. What kind of cheese are you putting on top of that?
Provolone.
My man. See, that's the only answer. That's the only answer.
What are we doing?
Wiz is for rookies and tourists. Thank you. I'm sorry, J.D. Vance, but that's just a fact.
And Tim Walz. The white boy tacos.
Yeah, what's up with the white boy tacos? Can we talk about that?
No, let's talk about this seriously, because apparently, like, media is all excited that I talked about the tacos. First of all, he lied. The man, first of all, how you gonna lie about your tacos, man? You don't gotta lie about your tacos for Kamala Harris. Like, this is how dumb this is. You lying. The man talk about how, he does white guy tacos. And she goes, what did she say? Tuna and mayonnaise? Like, she doesn't even know what she's talking about. That's what she said in the video. And so he's like, oh, no, you know, I just use beef and cheese. And he's like, oh, black pepper is as good as it gets. So Al Franken, who used to be the senator for the state of Minnesota, had a cooking contest every year. Tim Walz won the cooking contest 3 years in a row. And what did he cook? Tacos with green chilies and peppers and all the stuff, the way you're supposed to do it.
Right.
The man's won a cook-off cooking tacos, but then talk about how he used white boys. Like, don't lie. Have you ever known a cook to cook something and not eat it?
No.
This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. It's not real. Like, you're not a real person. Like, they went into Sheetz. And by the way, I love Sheetz. Sheetz is amazing. I was in Pennsylvania. I think it was Scott Perry. I think it was with Scott Perry. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Somebody took me to Sheetz, and I was like, man, what's this? They're like, man, it's Sheetz. They got some of the best breakfast sandwiches you could get.
Great.
We're in overtime right now, so we're just talking.
I'm just saying, though, we're Wawa people where I broadcast from in Philly. But it's all right. It's cool. Wawa versus Sheetz. It's all right. We still like them.
Okay.
I mean, it's better. And the Biden administration's going after them, trying to prosecute them, as you know. Sheetz.
Yeah, I know this.
Yeah, for criminal background checks on people. They're actually going after them in court because Sheetz said, we want to have criminal background checks on the people we hire. And then there's Kamala Harris going into Sheetz the other day campaigning in there. The hypocrisy, right?
Thank you. Like, you could have bought your Doritos at a 7-Eleven, Kamala. But here's the bigger thing. Again, she's trying to be phony, trying to act like she knows what's going on, but she's suing them. Let me ask this question.
You're asking me questions now. I love this. All right, do you want the microphone?
I'm going to ask you a question. I don't even need the microphone. Here's the question. If you a chip lover and you go and you stop at a gas station to get chips, don't you generally know where the chips are?
Yeah.
Do you need your husband and the VP nominee to hand you a bag of chips? No, you don't. Kamala. Sis. The chips are on an end cap. That's where they are. In just about any store in the country. And look, I don't want to demean it because, you know, when you're the vice president, I get it. You don't, she probably doesn't go shopping anymore. People do that for her, and I understand that. But this is where somebody in the campaign goes, okay, miss. Now, ma'am, when you walk in, the Doritos are like right there. Just bust a left. Come in the store and bust a left, and the Doritos are right there. It's this whole production. She's walking in there like she's really enjoying her time in Sheetz. And then Doug hands her the Doritos, but then they had to cut it again where Tim hands. I mean, it's just fake. Don't be fake. That's all I'm saying. Just be who you are. It's cool. I got to talk to JD about the Cheese Whiz. That ain't it.
You got to talk. You got to set him straight. All right.
Provolone.
Congressman Byron Donalds. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Take it easy.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. As we continue along here live at the Democrat National Convention in Chicago, where I am eagerly awaiting my first Chicago hot dog. I still haven't had one yet. They don't have them here at the convention center, which is outrageous. They only have these, it's like a hamburger stand. Of course, they have a vegan option. They have a plant-based hamburger because it's a DNC, along with the gender-neutral prayer rooms that are empty, of course. And nevertheless, the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. The crazy thing about this convention so far is the party of joy spent so much time yelling last night about Trump and how awful America is and how awful America is going to be if Donald Trump gets elected. It was a very depressing night, especially to watch the old guy on the stage get booted. And did you notice last night how they all praised him and they loved him and he's a hero and he's a savior, yet they shivved the old guy in the back, put two in the back, threw him in the trunk, drove him out of there. He didn't even know what was happening. He didn't even see it coming. That's what they did to Joe Biden. And yet we're supposed to pretend like this is, he's a hero. They love this guy. They love this guy. But I'll tell you, it was in some ways, I don't know, I don't want to say it was sad to see it, because it wasn't. It's infuriating, actually, to think about how the Democrats have subverted this entire process because they thought their guy's going to lose. And that's what it comes down to. They don't really care the fact that Joe Biden's lost his friggin' mind. If they thought Joe Biden could win, then Joe Biden would still be running right now. This was all a cheap stunt to try to save their chances in the election. And you know that, and I know that, obviously. And the Party of Freedom last night, they screamed about freedom and how they want to have a new kind of freedom. Matt Taibbi's got a great piece today calling them out on their push for freedom, because these are not people who support freedom. People that would have COVID hotlines for you to rat out your in-laws or your outlaws or your friends or your neighbors during COVID. People that require you to have your updated COVID-19 vaccine protocols before you can work on the campaign, which Kamala Harris has. I mean, these are not people who are for freedom. Stop it already. Stop it. Stop it, you silly people. And the other part about this, too, is that how they pick and choose who they want to help. So today, His Royal Ruggedness, King Philippi Unaccountable, Phil Murphy, He announced today that he's paying off medical debt for people in New Jersey. He tweeted out the following: today we're announcing the elimination of $100 million in medical debt for nearly 50,000 New Jerseyans through our partnership with at UNDUMD debt, whatever that is. Medical debt can follow someone for decades. We are wiping the state clean for thousands and making a real impact on lives. So here's my question. Why just medical debt? And why did Democrats pick and choose the debt they want to forgive? I've got debt. You've got debt. We got credit card debt. We got mortgage debt. Some people have business debt. Right now, there's some hardworking guy out there or gal with a truck they had to buy because they're home contractors or plumbers or whatever. They're paying that off. How come no forgiveness for them? This is what I mean. The Democrats pick and choose. And then when they do this, of course, they alter the economy in a way that has impacts for everybody. But if I'm a working person right now, I just turn around and I think you people are insane. You're infuriating. How I got to every day bust my chops, work for a living. I got debt. I didn't go to college. I don't have student loan debt. Nobody's taking care of me. Nobody's taking care of me. And that's what they do. And, you know, it's they decide for us which debt is important and which debt isn't. And then, of course, they decide the income levels, too, that they do that as well. And then the other thing about Democrats, and this is one of the points that I noticed about last night's speeches, a lot of it, is that there were a lot of people who are sitting around and turning around and saying to themselves, this is the party of freedom. Their nominee did not get one single vote in the Democrat primaries. Not one. And this was not a free, open process for Democrats. They didn't get to choose who the nominee of their party was going to be. They just got stuck with Kamala Harris because the party brokers, the power brokers that move things behind the scenes, people like Phil Murphy, people like America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, and all the other people, they control the everything behind the scenes. You know, Hillary Clinton being out on stage last night, Bill Clinton being at the convention, of course, Michelle Obama. I mean, we know who's in charge. But let's stop acting like this is a party for the grassroots. This is not the party of the grassroots. If it was, when Joe Biden dropped out, they would have turned around and said, we're going to have an open convention. You know the thing about this convention? There's nothing open about it. No, I mean, literally, there's nothing open about it. All the protests you keep hearing about and people tearing down the fencing and everything, it's nowhere near here. I know it looks like it on TV. But the reason why this is not Chicago in 1968 is because back then you could actually get close to the convention. You could actually back then get close enough where your voice could be heard in a protest. Can't do that today. There's nothing open about this convention whatsoever. Everybody has their credentials and their IDs. They didn't drop the ID requirement. I mean, I had to have this thing scanned multiple times with my ID on it and facial recognition technology and everything else. So you better make sure you have your ID if you want to come be a delegate. But when Biden dropped out, he could have turned around and said, listen, I'm not doing this anymore. So we're going to have an open convention. And we're going to, I'm endorsing Kamala Harris, but hey, listen, anyone who wants to run for president, who's a Democrat, will have your chance to get on stage and make your case. And then we'll have a vote Thursday night. Biden, they could have done that and said, we're going to open this up. The people that ran in the primaries, the people who, I mean, they controlled the primary process from the earliest days. You realize that, right? I mean, from day one, it was controlled for Joe Biden. So the party that screams about saving democracy is having the most undemocratic process in the history, probably, of modern day politics, where every single person going in to this convention knows who they're going to vote for and is voting for that person and is going in to support Kamala Harris. And that's how it is. That's how it is with these people. And I am so sick and tired of them pretending like they are the party of democracy or the little people, the hardworking men and women of this country. Like, please stop it. This is the single most elitist group you will ever see in your life. And the results of this, just so you know the ramifications of this, Kamala Harris spoke to a crowd of 250 people on Friday during a campaign rally in Raleigh, North Carolina, Raleigh. Oh, okay. WBTV reported that Harris addressed a few hundred supporters who attended the event. So you know the whole thing about Kamala Harris is having these big rallies and all the momentum and Kamala mania? It's a fugazi. It's a fugazi. Now, the convention's packed. But that's because all the party brokers and the elites from 50 states and the outlying territories are all here today and this week because they are the power brokers and they want to be among the powerful. But for the grassroots, they're feeling like they got shivved, and they should. A photo shows Harris greeting gathered supporters, but the rough count from that rally, 225 attendees. That includes current and former elected officials at a rally for the Democrat presidential candidate of the United States. I think grassroots Democrats have to be burned by this. I would be if I were them. Oh, I totally would be. I would turn around. I would think to myself, you know, you people have turned around and completely taken my say out of the process. I'm not a, I mean, if you're not a delegate, if you're not a delegate, if you don't have any say, if you're not one of the elites, you've had no say in the process of who the Democrat nominee for president of the United States is going to be. Think about it. None whatsoever. I mean, at least Joe Biden was they voted for him. They didn't vote for Kamala Harris as the nominee. They voted for Joe Biden in the Democrat primaries. They voted for her to be the running mate, but not to be the nominee. So why not open it up? Why not have an open convention? Allow people to get their voices heard. And the reason is because the powerful people that run the Democrat Party cannot risk Bernie Sanders getting in there. And if you open it up to grassroots Democrats, that's exactly what could happen. But they can't control Bernie. They can't control an RFK Jr., who, by the way, as we talked about earlier in the show, may be dropping out to help Trump. He should. Be the smartest thing for him. I mean, what is the whole point of his candidacy? Nothing. It's a torpedo, but they're just hemorrhaging money in every way, shape, and form. So his running mate came out earlier today and said that, you know, they're thinking about this. RFK Jr.'s VP nominee, Nicole Shanahan, who's got a ton of cash and is burning through cash, coming out and saying that they may drop out to prevent a Harris-Waltz win. That would be a smart move for them. Save him
what
some cash.
What my gut tells me right now is that we just have to keep being honest. I got to just keep being honest. I got to keep focusing on what matters the most outside of party lines. I need to focus on a vision that goes beyond November.
Because you're going to lose.
And if that means that we stay in, and, you know, there's benefits to staying in. If we get
like
over
what?
5% of the vote, we actually establish ourselves as a party. 71% of Americans want a strong third party.
Yeah, but they can't win,
a real shot at winning.
But they don't have a shot at winning.
There's even public funds available if we get over 5% of the vote. So
maybe you can make some of your money back.
I think it's like $13.5 million in public funds to keep the party going.
Great. My tax dollars are hard at work.
And that's, you know, that's worth something.
Yeah, it's worth $13.5 million.
We can position for a real third party election in 2028 where we don't have to go around and spend tens of millions of dollars on ballot access, which means that we can spend all of that time and money campaigning. So, you know, there's two options that we're looking at, and one
What's
is
the other option?
Staying in, forming that new party, but we run the risk of a Kamala Harris and Waltz presidency because we draw votes from Trump, or we draw somehow more votes from Trump, or we walk away right now,
walk away,
and join forces with Donald Trump, and
there you go, do it.
Know, we walk away from that, and we explain to our base why we're making this decision.
So
not easy,
clearly.
Yeah,
clearly.
Not an easy decision.
This is such a, this no. host is riveting, a riveting host right there. It's a very easy decision, Nicole. You just drop out and make sure Trump wins and use your voice and your impact for that. That's the easy decision. It's not that complicated. Because even if you get a third party established, that you're still not going to win. All right, coming up, let's talk about the Democrats' wacko agenda when it comes to the environment. We'll talk to our buddy Daniel Turner about that from Power of the Future, live at the DNC in Chicago. Counting down the minutes to my hot dog, which I've been craving all day, because they don't put ketchup on it. Because who puts ketchup on a hot dog? Be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, joining me now is my man. He fights for freedom. He fights against the green Marxists. He fights against the lunatics and of the Green New Deal. I'm talking about Daniel Turner, founder and executive director of Power of the Future. What's up, brother?
Richard, it's great to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
I mean, I got Byron Donalds and Daniel Turner in the same hour. I'm a lucky man. But, you know, Byron made a point. Because when I talked to him, I asked him, I said, hey, how do you justify Kamala Harris's flip-flop on fracking? And he interrupted me and he said, wait a second. Kamala Harris has not actually reversed her position on fracking. I mean, she's on record saying she'd ban it, but she's not on record saying she wouldn't ban it. That was some statement put out by the campaign. We actually have not heard Kamala Harris say she reverses her position on fracking, Daniel Turner. It's a great point.
No, it's a great point, and the congressman's absolutely right. And you can add this to many other issues. She hasn't, she personally hasn't said she's changed her position on single-payer health care, on closing detention centers at the southern border, right? These are all just campaign folks, anonymous campaign folks. And the fracking one came out on a Friday at around 5:30 or so in the afternoon. Oh, FYI, the congresswoman no longer believes in a fracking ban. And I'm sorry, I don't accept that as a reversal of position, because that's a major, major policy shift, right? This is not like me saying, you know what, Rich, I never used to like spinach, but I've had it now, and suddenly I think it's okay, right? Like, this is a huge reversal on a major policy position. And the reason why she has to do it anonymously is because a good reporter, a good interviewer like you would say, well, Vice President, walk us through the change, right? What statistics did you look at? What facts were brought before you? Why did you reverse your position on this? And she doesn't have an answer for that. The answer is, I want to win Pennsylvania, damn it, so I'll say whatever the hell I have to, right? So she uses anonymous campaign staffers to make these major decisions, and it's bogus.
How destructive is a ban on fracking? Not only for Pennsylvania and not only for getting votes in Pennsylvania, but I mean, just the impact on our country and our energy security.
Yeah, I've read that half of our oil and more than 2/3 of our natural gas comes from fracked wells. Fracking is commonplace, right? It is a very common practice that is used in the industry. It's a very old practice also. You know, one day if you ever are bored, you know, we can do a whole show on the history of fracking, but it was actually discovered in the Civil War. It is not a new practice at all. And so the fear that has been injected into the fracking debate is all nonsensical. It's so commonplace. Like I said, it is used to produce the vast majority of our energy. So if we got rid of our fracked wells, we would be destroying our energy industry. And quite frankly, that's what she wants, which is why she supports the fracking ban, right? They don't want to come out and ban the industry writ large because they're just cowards. So they want to do it by death of 1,000 paper cuts, and that includes a fracking ban.
And fracking, I mean, obviously for people that work in the energy sector, and it's important to note, it's not just people that work in fracking, but the towns that benefit from it, the other industries that benefit from it, right? I mean, this would be devastating to Pennsylvania if they go through with a ban on fracking, which, again, I'm still not certain they won't do because she's not explained her policy position shift on this.
No, I'm convinced that she still will do it if given the opportunity, because she's an ideologue. And when you're an ideologue, consequences don't matter, right? If you're an ideologue, you can say something like, we're going to have open borders and allow people into this country. And then you look at what's happened the last 3.5 years, and pragmatic people would say, okay, well, that was a failure, right? But ideologues don't, because the consequences don't matter. So the fact that we're all paying $4 a dozen for eggs, the fact that oil's been roughly $80 a barrel for years, I mean, for years it has been $80 a barrel. That's our new normal, is expensive gas. And gas used to be, not just under Trump when it hit less than $2 a gallon nationwide, but gas in America used to be cheap on the regular. And gas is now $3.75, $4 a gallon. And we're kind of used to it. We're annoyed by it, but we're kind of used to it. And I think that's also part of the plan, is to make this the new normal, right? That, hey, look, that's what a sandwich costs now. And that's just the way it is, right? That's what bread costs now. That's the way it is. And all of this blathering about how they're going to bring down prices, they want high prices. right? They know high prices are the result of their agenda, but they want high prices. And so, you know, again, she will say whatever she has to win Pennsylvania. But her record is crystal clear, and I will trust her record more than I will trust her campaign rhetoric.
Daniel Turner, I want your thoughts. And by the way, Daniel Turner is with me, founder and executive director of Power of the Future. PowerOfTheFuture.com is where you go. He's fighting for freedom and for America's energy, independence, and security. Give me your thoughts on the opening night of the DNC last night. I don't know if you watched it or if you decided to do something more fun, like have you, a tractor just completely roll over your body several times to flatten you, flatten you out.
I will say this: is it still going on? I mean, that was long. That was.
They're about to wrap up the opening speeches any minute now. Yeah.
They told us Biden was expected around 9-ish, 9:30. I mean, what was it? It was 11:30, and I had to stay awake and watch. I have to do this for a living, but it was very long. One of the things I thought was telling about opening night compared to the Republican convention. One, I didn't see an awful lot of joy. I saw an awful lot of anger and a lot of name calling and a lot of, they are an angry lot. And I think liberals generally speaking are angry and miserable. And because they are, they like policies that make the rest of us miserable to make themselves feel normal. So their misery was contagious. Yes, they come on with big smiles, but listen to the words they say, especially about the president and about MAGA, right? There's a lot of hatred, a lot of anger, not a lot of tolerance. I didn't see a lot of tolerance at the convention. But the other thing I thought was funny is President Trump came out every night of the convention and sat there and listened to the speeches.
Yeah.
Kamala was there for a minute and she ran, and she's not even going to be there tonight for the Obamas. So why do they not want to be in the same room together?
Yeah.
Right. I thought that was very, very bizarre. And I thought Joe Biden got the send off he deserves as the nasty, bitterly partisan, career corrupt politician, giving him the nighttime goodbye, you know, grandpa, go put your pajamas on speech was befitting a truly loathsome individual. So it shows you how the Democrats, they will spit you out as soon as they are done with you. They're done with Biden, and yeah, they'll give grandiose toasts and all that, but they are thrilled to be gone with him, and they will treat him like crap the way they treat the American people.
Yeah, so well said. You know, in 2020, they tried to pretend like he was the kind old man hiding in the basement, keeping you safe from COVID and mean tweets, but he's a nasty SOB with a long history of corruption, making $27 million off Ukraine and Romania and China and Russia. I mean, you know, good riddance. And, you know, just so everybody understands how bad the Monday night speaking gig is, the Hawk Tua girl has a better position this week on the stage. Just so everyone's clear, she's got a better primetime gig.
And look at the number of Democrats who didn't attend. Now, there were some Republicans, some angry little bitter Republicans who didn't attend the GOP convention. I get it.
Yeah.
But some really prominent Democrats are not attending the convention, right? Fetterman's not going. John Tester's not going. Sherrod Brown's not going. Martin Heinrich. These are senators in key swing states up for re-election who are afraid to show their face. Now, Bob Casey, your senator from Pennsylvania, is going, but that's because it's the first invitation Bob Casey's received in years. So he was just thrilled to be invited. So Bob Casey is there. I doubt he stayed awake all night.
Right.
And if he's done with his nap and listening to the show right now, you know, Senator, you've been there 18 years. What the hell have you done?
How destructive is Tim Walz when it comes to the environment? So that everyone is clear, Tim Walz is not the nice, kind old guy that they're projecting him to be. You know, America's dad. And by the way, if he's America's dad, I want a restraining order to keep him away from my kids because he's freaking creepy.
You know, before I answer that, which is a great question, the whole Mamala, Kamala, and Tim Walz as the dad, I have parents. Right. I never want to see my elected officials in a paternal or maternal role. That is freaking creepy. And that is very Freudian. Right. If you see, you know, and granted, they did see Reagan as like a grandfatherly figure, but it was more because of like the wit and wisdom and the storytelling. I don't think even conservatives looked at him and said, I'm protected like my grandpa would take care. I don't want the president to take care of me. I don't want a father figure. So I think that's really gross that is the you know, they call us weird. Holy crap. I think that is weird. But Tim Walz, when it comes to the environment, the sky is the limit because, again, he's an ideologue. So it doesn't matter the consequences of his policies. It doesn't matter the destruction that they will bring. He's got an ideology, and his ideology is thoroughly pro-Chinese. The dude loves China. That alone should be creepy as F, right? This love affair that he's been 30 times. Who the hell's been to any other country other than their own country 30 times?
Yeah.
Right? So there's a very weird love affair with communist China that should scare the crap out of Americans.
Well said. Well said. And, you know, the other part about the guy that just really, you know, worries me is he's got a track record of going after fossil fuels. He's got a track record of this. He's done it as governor. So he's been one of the, I'd say, kookiest governors when it comes to this. And, you know, it's not just policy positions that you can just walk back. The dude's taken actual action, Daniel Turner.
Yeah, he has. He's gone after the fossil fuel industry relentlessly in his state. He stopped some very successful or some potentially successful mines from opening up in his state. Minnesota has Twin Metal Mines. It's one of the largest copper deposits ever found. Tim Walz's entire green agenda of solar and wind and EVs requires boatloads of copper, but he will not support opening Twin Metals mine to mine American copper. He would much merit.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, joining me now is my man. He fights for freedom. He fights against the green Marxists. He fights against the lunatics and of the Green New Deal. I'm talking about Daniel Turner, founder and executive director of Power of the Future. What's up, brother?
Oh, Richard, it's great to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
I mean, I got Byron Donalds and Daniel Turner in the same hour. I'm a lucky man. But, you know, Byron made a point. Because when I talked to him, I asked him, I said, hey, how do you justify Kamala Harris's flip-flop on fracking? And he interrupted me and he said, wait a second. Kamala Harris has not actually reversed her position on fracking. I mean, she's on record saying she'd ban it, but she's not on record saying she wouldn't ban it. That was some statement put out by the campaign. We actually have not heard Kamala Harris say she reverses her position on fracking, Daniel Turner. It's a great point.
No, it's a great point, and the congressman's absolutely right. And you can add this to many other issues. She personally hasn't said she's changed her position on single-payer health care, on closing detention centers at the southern border, right? These are all just campaign folks, anonymous campaign folks. And the fracking one came out on a Friday at around 5:30 or so in the afternoon. Oh, FYI, the congresswoman no longer believes in a fracking ban. And I'm sorry, I don't accept that as a reversal of position, because that's a major, major policy shift, right? This is not like me saying, you know what, Rich, I never used to like spinach, but I've had it now, and suddenly I think it's okay, right? Like, this is a huge reversal on a major policy position. And the reason why she has to do it anonymously is because a good reporter, a good interviewer like you would say, well, Vice President, walk us through the change, right? What statistics did you look at? What facts were brought before you? Why did you reverse your position on this? And she doesn't have an answer for that. The answer is, I want to win Pennsylvania, damn it, so I'll say whatever the hell I have to, right? So she uses anonymous campaign staffers to make these major decisions, and it's bogus.
How destructive is a ban on fracking? Not only for Pennsylvania and not only for getting votes in Pennsylvania, but I mean, just the impact on our country and our energy security.
Yeah, I've read that half of our oil and more than 2/3 of our natural gas comes from fracked wells. Fracking is commonplace, right? It is a very common practice that is used in the industry. It's a very old practice also. You know, one day if you ever are bored, you know, we can do a whole show on the history of fracking, but it was actually discovered in the Civil War. It is not a new practice at all. And so the fear that has been injected into the fracking debate is all nonsensical. It's so commonplace. Like I said, it is used to produce the vast majority of our energy. So if we got rid of our fracked wells, we would be destroying our energy industry. And quite frankly, that's what she wants, which is why she supports the fracking ban, right? They don't want to come out and ban the industry writ large because they're just cowards. So they want to do it by death of a thousand paper cuts, and that includes a fracking ban.
And fracking, I mean, obviously for people that work in the energy sector, and it's important to note, it's not just people that work in fracking, but the towns that benefit from it, the other industries that benefit from it, right? I mean, this would be devastating to Pennsylvania if they go through with a ban on fracking, which, again, I'm still not certain they won't do because she's not explained her policy position shift on this.
No, I'm convinced that she still will do it if given the opportunity because she's an ideologue. And when you're an ideologue, consequences don't matter, right? If you're an ideologue, you can say something like, we're going to have open borders and allow people into this country. And then you look at what's happened the last 3.5 years, and pragmatic people would say, okay, well, that was a failure, right? But ideologues don't, because the consequences don't matter. So the fact that we're all paying $4 a dozen for eggs, the fact that oil's been roughly $80 a barrel for years, I mean, for years it has been $80 a barrel, that's our new normal, is expensive gas. And gas used to be, not just under Trump when it hit less than $2 a gallon nationwide, but gas in America used to be cheap on the regular, and gas is now $3.75, $4 a gallon, and we're kind of used to it. We're annoyed by it, but we're kind of used to it. And I think that's also part of the plan, is to make this the new normal, right? That, hey, look, that's what a sandwich costs now. And that's just the way it is, right? That's what bread costs now. That's the way it is. And all of this blathering about how they're going to bring down prices, they want high prices, right? They know high prices are the result of their agenda, but they want high prices. And so, you know, again, she will say whatever she has to win Pennsylvania. But her record is crystal clear, and I will trust her record more than I will trust her campaign rhetoric.
Daniel Turner, I want your thoughts. And by the way, Daniel Turner is with me, founder and executive director of Power of the Future. PowerOfTheFuture.com is where you go. He's fighting for freedom and for America's energy independence and security. Give me your thoughts on the opening night of the DNC last night. I don't know if you watched it or if you decided to do something more fun, like have a tractor just completely roll over your body several times to flatten you, flatten you out.
I will say this, is it still going on? I mean, that was long.
They're about to wrap up the opening speeches any minute now. Yeah.
They told us Biden was expected around 9-ish, 9:30. I mean, what was it? It was 11:30, and I had to stay awake and watch. I have to do this for a living. But it was very long. One of the things I thought was telling about opening night compared to the Republican convention. One, I didn't see an awful lot of joy. I saw an awful lot of anger and a lot of name calling and a lot of, they are an angry lot. And I think liberals generally speaking are angry and miserable. And because they are, they like policies that make the rest of us miserable to make themselves feel normal. So their misery was contagious. Yes, they come on with big smiles, but listen to the words they say, especially about the president and about MAGA, right? There's a lot of hatred, a lot of anger, not a lot of tolerance. I didn't see a lot of tolerance at the convention. But the other thing I thought was funny is President Trump came out every night of the convention and sat there and listened to the speeches.
Yeah.
Kamala was there for a minute and she ran, and she's not even going to be there tonight for the Obamas. So why do they not want to be in the same room together?
Yeah.
Right. I thought that was very, very bizarre. And I thought Joe Biden got the send off he deserves as the nasty, bitterly partisan, career corrupt politician, giving him the nighttime goodbye, you know, grandpa, go put your pajamas on speech was befitting a truly loathsome individual. So it shows you how the Democrats, they will spit you out as soon as they are done with you. They're done with Biden, and yeah, they'll give grandiose toasts and all that, but they are thrilled to be gone with him, and they will treat him like crap the way they treat the American people.
Yeah, so well said. You know, in 2020, they tried to pretend like he was the kind old man hiding in the basement, keeping you safe from COVID and mean tweets, but he's a nasty SOB with a long history of corruption, making $27 million off Ukraine and Romania and China and Russia. I mean, you know, good riddance. And, you know, just so everybody understands, realize how bad the Monday night speaking gig is. The Hawk Tua girl has a better position this week on the stage. Just so everyone's clear, she's got a better primetime gig.
And look at the number of Democrats who didn't attend. Now, there were some Republicans, some angry little bitter Republicans who didn't attend the GOP convention. I get it.
Yeah.
But some really prominent Democrats are not attending the convention, right? Fetterman's not going. John Tester's not going. Sherrod Brown's not going. Martin Heinrich. These are senators in key swing states up for re-election who are afraid to show their face. Now, Bob Casey, your senator from Pennsylvania, is going, but that's because it's the first invitation Bob Casey's received in years. So he was just thrilled to be invited. So Bob Casey is there. I doubt he stayed awake all night.
Right.
And if he's done with his nap and listening to the show right now, you know, Senator, you've been there 18 years. What the hell have you done?
How destructive is Tim Walz when it comes to the environment? So that everyone is clear, Tim Walz is not the nice, kind old guy that they're projecting him to be. You know, America's dad. And by the way, if he's America's dad, I want a restraining order to keep him away from my kids because he's freaking creepy.
You know, before I answer that, which is a great question, the whole Mamala Kamala and Tim Walz as the dad, I have parents. Right, I never want to see my elected officials in a paternal or maternal role. That is freaking creepy, and that is very Freudian, right? If you see, you know, and granted, they did see Reagan as like a grandfatherly figure, but it was more because of like the wit and wisdom and the storytelling. I don't think even conservatives looked at him and said, "I'm protected like my grandpa would take care." I don't want the president to take care of me. I don't want a father figure. So I think that's really gross that is the, you know, they call us weird. Holy crap. I think that is weird. But Tim Walz, when it comes to the environment, the sky is the limit because, again, he's an ideologue. So it doesn't matter the consequences of his policies. It doesn't matter the destruction that they will bring. He's got an ideology, and his ideology is thoroughly pro-Chinese. The dude loves China. That alone should be creepy as F, right? This love affair that he's been 30 times. Who the hell's been to any other country other than their own country 30 times?
Yeah.
Right? So there's a very weird love affair with communist China that should scare the crap out of Americans.
Well said. Well said. And, you know, the other part about the guy that just really, you know, worries me is he's got a track record of going after fossil fuels. He's got a track record of this. He's done it as governor. So he's been one of the, I'd say, kookiest governors when it comes to this. And, you know, it's not just policy positions that you can just walk back. The dude's taken actual action, Daniel Turner.
Yeah, he has. He's gone after the fossil fuel industry relentlessly in his state. He stopped some potentially successful mines from opening up in his state. Minnesota has Twin Metal Mines. It's one of the largest copper deposits ever found. Tim Walz's entire green agenda of solar and wind and EVs requires boatloads of copper, but he will not support opening Twin Metals mine to mine American copper. He would much rather we buy copper from China. And that's bizarre, right? Why would you not want your own state to open this mine with potentially hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue and jobs? Well, no, he would rather have China get that. And so he has a very destructive environment, punishing American energy, but celebrating foreign-controlled energy simultaneously. And that's similar to Biden, that's similar to Harris, and that's the last 3.5 years, and how are we all doing as a country as a result? So, yeah, there's a lot to be concerned about on their energy record.
Daniel Turner, follow him on X at Daniel Turner PTF, powerthefuture.com. Thanks, brother. Go get a bourbon or an entire distillery for tonight's round two.
To survive a second night, Rich, I'm going to have to do as much cocaine as Hunter Biden. So, you know, it's the only way we're going to tolerate. That was a joke.
That was a joke. There's no cocaine left. Hunter snorted it all. All right, Daniel. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, Rich.
And we'll turn it over to the great one, Mark Levin, as we conclude live from the Democrat National Convention here in Chicago. I'm going to get some dinner. Thank you for listening to the show. Appreciate it. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. And we'll be back live tomorrow at the DNC.